And so, my friends, we find ourselves again standing here at the foot of the cross, soon to be in a procession line where it feels we just stood to receive ashes. I'm reminded each gloomy Good Friday where the air feels weighed down with this impending doom of our Lord's crucifixion. Remember as a child lamenting the readings in Mass, never did I want to say, crucify, crucify. And now as deacon each year, I get to read these lines. I've learned that it's not about me or my misery. How did we get here? How did we put him there? As we recall the path that weaves its way to Easter Sunday, we have thus far experienced a Lenten journey filled with great beauty and great ugliness, great freedom and great pain, fraught with a season of misery and mercy, switching places back and forth. Let's just take a minute in meditation to reflect on our readings from our journey. On Ash Wednesday, when we came together, we took our first steps, Jesus reminding us how to pray. Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Go to your inner room and pray. Anoint your head with oil and wash your face. On the first Sunday of Lent, we recall how our Lord was tempted in the desert. He was tempted with worldly possessions, rejecting the father of lies, who, as the Bible tells us, would depart from him for a time. On the second Sunday, Jesus is transfigured and his glory revealed. His face changed in appearance and his clothing became dazzling white. We experience the theophany, as God tells us, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." We get an idea of what heaven would be like, what our heavenly bodies will look like, unworthy recipients of a divine gift. On the third Sunday, we're reminded that we are to cultivate the ground so that we may bear fruit, that without the gardener's help, we cannot bear fruit. But if we do not bear fruit, even with his help, we will be cut down. The fourth Sunday of Lent, we are caught up in a marvelous parable of the prodigal son, a lesson where a father is willing to give up everything and a son who's willing to take everything until he realizes he needs only one thing, his father. On the fifth Sunday, we find ourselves standing in a temple courtyard with a woman who is about to be stoned for adultery. We find ourselves standing alone, mercy with misery. Jesus' last words in that reading, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." We clearly see that our misery is in need of his grace and great mercy. When we find ourselves climbing the hill to Palm Sunday of the Lord's Passion, inside one single reading, we find man's complete adoration for the Son of God, and at the same time, man's complete disdain, all wrapped up together. A reading where Jesus' one great desire is to eat Passover and teach one more lesson, to remind us, "You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. Therefore, as master and teacher, I have washed your feet, and you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model." Holy Thursday, we see that Jesus is now fully aware that the Father has put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was going to return to God, which leads us and leaves us once again at the foot of the cross. This misery we exchange for mercy does not simply go away. It is only misplaced for a little while. Misplaced because it was ours. It still is ours. And what does the weight of sin and misery look like? And what does it do to us as children of God? Over 700 years before Jesus walked this earth, the prophet Isaiah told us in the first reading today, "Even as many were amazed at him, so marred was his look beyond human semblance, and his appearance beyond that of the Son of Man. He was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes we were healed." This Lenten season, we see how Peter cried out, "No, Lord, you can't wash my feet." Judas's betrayal, the apostles scattering, denials, people sneering and jeering at Jesus on the cross, "Crucify him, crucify him." We find in our abject misery, we discover, and I invite you to consider how the mercy of this Lenten message may not be about what we want, instead about what we need. Bearing this truth in our mind and in our heart, we see that Jesus' passion is for us. His love closes the gap between misery and mercy. The two merge, and looking up at the cross, we find all our self-inflicted misery, our sin, our pain, our addictions, our loss, our reliance and independence, which we've been holding on to, ultimately fall short. And we find our hands and arms full. We must drop this and let our inadequacies scatter to the ground at the foot of the cross. In doing this, we respond to Jesus, our model, and we open our arms. This observation is paradoxical. It's an observance of not only sacrificial giving, but a continual reminder for us to have the humility to receive a message of not just death, but of life, not just sin, but forgiveness, not just the experience of hate, but of love. Love not just for them, but for us as well. And as we look up at the cross, then let us humbly open our arms as we hold each other and we ask God to forgive us. We can't show mercy when our hands are full of misery. Remember, his mercy triumphs over all. And as Joel tells us, "Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart."